coming to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Genesis, chapter 3, beginning to read at the verse number 14. Do remember, this night, fortnight, we commence the mission up in Anahinchico, Orange Hall. And so there'll be no meeting here. And so do spread the news around and make it known. And we don't want someone turning up here and no meeting on. So do let others know. And do remember the mission. Do bring others with you if you can. But support it in prayer, as Ronnie has said. And we look forward to having a good number there night by night. We're going into an area where I think there hasn't been a mission for some time. And so we want a good testimony from the assembly here in that area. And others will know that we have an interest, a real genuine interest in their spiritual condition. And so we pray you'll take that on board and try and be there and support it when you can. Thank you for coming out this evening. Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse number 14. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. We'll end at verse 19, and we're looking to the Lord to bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word. I want to think about the curse this evening. We read in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 13, speaking of God, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? Listen to those words again. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. God can't look on sin. And no matter what you think of God tonight, what you think about him doesn't really matter. But God can't look upon sin. And if you're a sinner tonight and that's how you finish your day, well, God can't accept you. And that's plain and it's simple and it's easy to understand. The psalmist said in Psalm 5, verse 4, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. Evil and God can't dwell in the same place. And so there'll be no sinners in heaven. And there'll be no sin in heaven. The psalmist again in Psalm 11 said, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Difficult sometimes to think of God hating, but God hates sin. And again, when we think of God hating sin, we have to remember that God loved the sinner so much that he sent his son to die. And do remember that and do keep the balance this evening. But God hates sin tonight. And sometimes we as God's people need to be reminded that God hates sin. What man calls an accident, God calls an abomination. What man calls a blunder, God calls it blindness. What man says is a defect, God says it's a disease. What man labels chance, God says it's a choice. Sinners by practice, sinners by nature, sinners by choice. Man calls it an error, God says it's enmity. Man says it's fascination, God says it's fatal. Man says it's an infirmity, God said it's iniquity. Man describes it at times as luxury, God said it's more like leprosy. Man talks about liberty, God says it's lawlessness. Man describes it as being trifle, God says it's a tragedy. Man says it's a mistake, God says it's madness. Man says it's weakness, no, God says it's willfulness. God hates sin. Peter reminds us as believers, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Get this into your head this evening. Get it into your hearts tonight. As believers, as unbelievers, wherever your spiritual situation is, God's a holy God. And God doesn't negotiate over sin. And you can't talk yourself out of it. And say, whatever you think about God doesn't matter. If you're still in your sin, God can't look upon you. and God can never accept you. Let's look at this subject this evening. I want to think of the penalty announced. Look at chapter 3, verse 14. And the Lord said unto the serpent, God speaking to the devil, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. Don't think of cattle as cows in a field. Just think of the beasts. And every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And God cursed Satan. And he's cursed tonight, and there's no remedy for Satan. He's doomed, he's damned, and he's defeated. And one day the sentence will be carried out in full. We read in Revelation 20, verse 10, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night for how long? Forever and ever. And so God sorted the devil out. He's cursed, he's doomed, he's damned, he's lost. But like Pharaoh of old, even though Pharaoh, God had hardened his heart eventually, and God had given up on Pharaoh, he was defeated, but he was still determined. And the devil, even though he's defeated, he's still determined to hinder and thwart the people of God, and determined to take as many lost souls as he can to a lost eternity. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary is a devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Man also was cursed. Look at verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and didst eat of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. All of nature was cursed, the ground was cursed, and man was cursed. Verse 18, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And of course he's speaking about death. Verse 19, the end of it reminds us that the wages of sin is death. You remember what God said in chapter 2, verse 17? Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thou shalt surely die. God says, you eat, you'll die. The devil had something different. The devil says, ye shall not surely die. Genesis 3, verse 4. What happened? Genesis 5, verse 5. All the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. God doesn't tell lies. This book can be trusted. God's word can be depended on. You can put your life on it tonight. What you think about God doesn't matter, because God tells the truth. And if God says it, you can believe it. You can put your life on it. You can place your soul on the word of God this evening. You can trust every word that God says. The moment Adam sinned, he began to die physically. The body began to decay, and he immediately died spiritually. The word death just means separation. When we die physically, our body and soul are separated at death. When we die spiritually, we're separated from God. And tonight, if you're not saved, you're spiritually dead. And your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Physical death is when the body and soul are separated. Eternal death is when the body and soul will be separated together from God in hell for all eternity. That's the second death that the Bible talks about. And so it's a serious thing tonight. God hates sin. The moment Adam sinned, he began to die. And because of his disobedience to the word of God, Adam was lost and in danger of a lost eternity. Look what Adam tries to do. Just if you're still in Genesis, look up to chapter 3, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened. George touched on this morning. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Here's man's attempt to cover his sin and to cover his shame. And he uses fig leaves. It's interesting. And as far as I know, this is the case. The only thing that Jesus ever cursed, you'll find it in Mark 11, was the fig tree. Know what that tells me? Every man-made effort to please God is cursed by God. It's not some nice, sweet man giving a nice message, telling people, you just be a good Presbyterian, be a good Baptist, be a good Catholic, be a good Free Presbyterian, be a good Church of Ireland, be a good whatever. It's a message that's cursed by God. And it's a means that's cursed by God. And if anyone's depending on their church or their good works, it's cursed by God. It's just fig leaves. And the fig leaf has been cursed by God rejected by God. It just won't do. And so tonight, if you're depending on some fig leaf of your own imagination, of your own making, well, you need to realize that won't happen this evening. God hates sin. We see, secondly, tonight, the penalty announced. The penalty announced. You know, Gary Glitter seems to be in prison, I don't know how many times. He seems to be a wicked and an evil person. We've discovered that Jimmy Savile was a wicked, despicable, and an evil person. And of course, the BBC and the government and all those who are involved are going out of their way to let you know that this sort of behavior is not acceptable. You know, God takes it a bit further, and God says all sin is unacceptable. And God wants you to understand tonight that sin is unacceptable, and he hates sin. Paul reminds us in Romans 6 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. James says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And the wages of sin is death. And you see, you've got the penalty announced tonight. But then I want you to see it personally applied tonight. I want you to come over to the book of Deuteronomy for a few moments. Deuteronomy chapter 27. This is actually the passage that I was thinking of tonight. I want you to see the penalty announced. Man's cursed. And I want you to see it personally applied, because we think of mankind being cursed. Maybe you're not thinking tonight that that's you tonight. And I want you to come to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 27, please. Moses in Deuteronomy 27 is given instruction by God. He's told when he comes to two particular mountains, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, that he's to read the blessings and the cursings. And he'll read the blessings in one mountain, and he'll read the curses in another mountain. And he'll say, if you obey the Lord and you follow his word, you're going to be blessed. If you disobey God and you turn your back on his word, you're going to be cursed. And this is something that they were to do down through history. Joshua carries it out in Joshua 8, verse 35. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel with the women and the little ones. It's interesting that in the end, they saw it was important to have the little ones in the gospel meeting. The little ones under the sound of the word of God. And Joshua read to the grown-ups and to the little ones, and he just read the word of God. And I want you to see Deuteronomy chapter 27. This is the curses, if you like. I want you to see something that was very plain. Look at verse 8 in Deuteronomy 27. Thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. You see the word plainly? This is something that was plain. The Ten Commandments were written for all to see. No one could be left in any doubt. Some of our laws are very ambiguous. If you ever get a document from Stormont or from Westminster and you try to read through it, you just couldn't understand it. The language is so ambiguous. It's the used words that people just don't seem to understand. Sometimes I believe they don't understand it themselves. But God's word's not like that. It's written plainly tonight. And it's plain for you to see this evening. The word of God leaves you in no doubt. Romans 2 verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man. Romans 1 verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. God says you have no excuse. You look at creation tonight. And if you can't see God in creation, then you're blinder than I thought you were. God says it's clearly seen. And I know there are many who don't want to see it. Many have decided there's no God and they have to get an alternative explanation. But you look at creation and it's clearly seen there's a God in heaven. Without the Bible, man is left in no doubt that there is a God in heaven. And God has written it plainly this evening. A few years ago, someone brought out a new soap. And they said, we need a slogan that will stick in people's minds. This is what someone came up with. The alkaline elements and vegetable fats in this product are blended in such a way as to secure the highest quality of saponification alone, with a specific gravity that keeps it on the top of the water, allowing the bather to avoid looking for it during his ablutions. Let me put it in plain English, it floats. It floats. That's all that means. They invented a bar of soap that floats, that if you're in the bath, you don't have to, I was going to say hook after it, you don't have to go looking at it. It's on the top of the water, and it's easy for everyone to find. It wasn't written in plain English. God has written this plainly tonight. Something plain. And then there's something vain. Because I believe when you read these verses, it's vain for you to stand on your feet tonight and say, I have kept the law. Look at verse 15 in Deuteronomy. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven image or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the works of the hands of the craftsmen, and putteth it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen. This takes in the first two commandments. Have you any idols? Have you anything tonight that you've put in place of God? If you're not saved, you must have. There's something in your life that's more important than salvation. It may just be your pride. You won't get off your high horse and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you have put yourself up as a God. And you worship yourself so much that you have yourself in the place of God. It may be a hobby. It may be an interest. It may be some financial gain. There's something tonight that's more important to you. Sometimes it's even religion. And that's more important than being right with Christ. And tonight there's something there. And it's vain for you tonight to try and say that you have no idols if you're not saved. Look at verse 16. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. You'll see again, this is one of the commandments. And all the people shall say, Amen. Have you always obeyed your parents? Look back down through your life. Has there ever been a time you did anything behind their backs? Did you think about doing something behind their backs? Have you hidden something from them? And some of you older people, look back to that time. Can you honestly say you have always honored your mother and your father? You see, it's vain tonight for anyone to try and stand up and pretend. And I've only mentioned a few of the commandments this evening. This is what James says in James 2, verse 10. Whosoever shall keep the whole law, and that's some do. You keep it all. And I think James meant all 1,618 laws that you find in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. I think he just didn't mean the Ten Commandments, although the Ten embraces everything. And James says you could keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, and you're guilty of breaking the whole lot. Now, would you like to take God on tonight? Would you like to challenge him tonight and say, God, you show me where I have broken one law? Listen, you've sinned in thought, you've sinned in word, and you've sinned in deed. And even from this night, if you said, I am going to obey the Ten Commandments as perfectly as I can, what are you going to do about the past? How are you going to handle that? Just guilty in one point, and you're guilty of breaking the whole law. Do you see something plain? God speaks in language you can understand. You see something vain to try and pretend that you're not a sinner. You see something the same. Look down the chapter to verse 26 in Deuteronomy 27. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen. And Paul takes this verse and he brings it into Galatians, Galatians 3, verse 10. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. And then he goes on, he says, For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continued not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. And here tonight, we're all the same. Doesn't matter about our background. Doesn't matter where we were born, whether rich or poor. Someone said to that young boxer the other day that he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. They obviously have never been to Tiger's Bay, or they wouldn't have said something as foolish. But doesn't matter where you're from, Tiger's Bay, or where you're from the Malone Road. Makes no difference. Doesn't matter which end of the social spectre you come from. We're all the same tonight. Cursed is everyone, Paul says, that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Listen, we're all the same tonight. We're all sinners. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law confirms that we are sinners. When we measure our life against God's word, we see we're sinners. But the good news is, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. But here's the truth tonight. You're cursed and you're under condemnation. Jesus said, He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. The Hebrew writer says, How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Escape what? Escape judgment. Tonight I want you to see God's hatred of sin. You see the penalty announced. You see the personal application. This involves you tonight, but I want to talk about the pardon that's available tonight. We've already read Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Do you see who stepped in? Christ. He stepped in. Here was man cursed. He was doomed. He was damned. And Christ stepped in. And Paul says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And here you see the love of God tonight. Here you see God's love sending his Son. And the wrath of God will be poured out on those who reject his Son. Do you see who stepped in? Do you see what he secured? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. We were cursed because of our sin, but Christ hath redeemed us. Christ has set us free, free to sin no more, free from the law. Oh, happy condition. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free. Indeed, this pardon is amazing. It's to do with the amazing grace, and it's offered to you this evening. I know that some of the men walking around the streets of our province have a sentence hanging over their head. Yes, they got out on early release, but you check the records and you'll discover that they were guilty. And the record's still there. And that record will be there until the day they die. They're guilty. Some of them are murderers. Some of them are guilty of other things, but they're guilty. And they may have been set free by man's law, but they're not set free in the eyes of God unless they come and trust him. But when Christ sets you free, you're free indeed. When Christ redeems you, you're set free. The curse is lifted. And all the record of your sins are wiped clean. The slate is wiped absolutely clean. Do you see who stepped in? Do you see what he secured? Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Our sin is removed. The psalmist said, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now, I don't know which way is east and which way is west, standing here in Rafael this evening, but I know if you head east and someone heads west, you're never going to meet. You're never going to meet. And our sins have been sent as far as the east is from the west. We'll never meet them again. We're finished as far as our sins are concerned. Our sin has been removed. Our sins will never be remembered. God says, I will remember their sins no more. Now, God doesn't forget. People talk about forgiving and forgetting. God doesn't forget because to forget is a defect. And God won't forget anything, but God says, I'll remember them no more. As far as your sins are concerned, God says, they're gone. And I'm choosing not to remember them. They're removed. They're not remembered. They'll never be recalled. Micah 7, verse 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And God takes your sin, throws them into the depths of the sea, and he puts a sign up that says, no fishing. As the old preachers used to say, they're cast into the sea of his forgetfulness. They're never going to be brought up again. Sins are removed, they'll never be remembered, and they'll never be recalled. Another word is you're justified. He removes the curse completely tonight because he loves you. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Do you see who stepped in, Christ? Do you see what he secured? He redeemed us from the curse of the law. But look what he sacrificed by being made a curse for us. God the Father cursed God the Son when he hung on the tree. Do you remember I said that God can't look upon iniquity? And I can't explain it and I can't understand it, but when God the Son was made sin for us on that cross, God the Father had to turn his back on his Son. And that's why Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's a deep mystery. Luther says, God forsaken by God, how can it be? I can't explain it, but listen, it happened. And he took your curse and my curse, that you and I might never be cursed. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And we have a number of references in Scripture to Christ being on a tree. You have the reality of a tree. Acts 10, verse 39. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. That's an historical record. Jesus Christ was hanged on a tree. Acts is an historical book. You have the reason for the tree. Peter says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body in the tree, that we being dead to sins, that's who you are tonight, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. You pass from being dead to being alive, from being a sinner to being righteous in the sight of a holy God. You have the reality of the tree, the reason for the tree. You have him removed from the tree. Acts 13, 29. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. He was taken down from the tree and he was put in the tomb. And many of them thought, that's Christ finished. That's him gone for good. But you know, we have the resurrection after the tree. Acts 5, verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. And there's four references to the tree this evening. The reality of the tree, the reason for the tree, being removed from the tree, and resurrected after the tree. I can't imagine what Christ suffered on the cross. I can't imagine what it is to be cursed by God. But I know when you look at hell, when you look what Christ had to bear, you can see so many facets of hell. And it's as if Christ took our hell when he died on that center cross. He was cursed. That's what he had to sacrifice. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. When you consider the curse and what sin brought, Jesus Christ stepped in and paid the price in full that you might be redeemed. Let me mention a prospect that's amazing tonight. Because we've been thinking about the curse. When we go over to Revelation chapter 22, we read this. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. And in the midst of it, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Here's another tree, but it's the tree of life. Then in verse 3 it says, and there shall be no more curse. No more curse. What a day that's going to be. You see, we were cursed because of our sin. Jesus Christ paid the price and took that curse. When you're saved, you're redeemed. But you know, there are some elements of the curse that are still here because our bodies decay. And I'm sure your body, like mine, it's not getting any younger. But here's a time in the future where there shall be no more curse. Revelation 21, verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Can you imagine a place of no tears? Have you shed tears this week? I'm sure some of you have. Can you imagine a place where there's no more crying? He says, God shall wipe away all tears. There shall be no more death. It seems every week some family loses a member to death. It just seems to go on and on. Moves from one family to another family to another family. Moves around areas and death's all around us. Can you imagine a place with no death? No sorrow, no crying, no death. Neither shall there be any more pain. Can you imagine a place with no pain? Have you ever suffered pain? I'm sure some of you have. And maybe it's even killing you to sit here tonight. You've that much pain. But here's a place with no curse. And because there's no curse, there's no pain, there's no sorrow, there's no sadness, there's no death. Revelation 22 verse 4 says, and they shall see his face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, what a glorious day that will be. Just to be near the dear Lord I adore will through the ages be glory for me. What an amazing prospect this evening. You see, we began with that curse coming upon the world because of sin. We notice that curse is more personal because it's upon you and I, because we were born in sin. Then we realize there's a remedy for the curse because Christ was made a curse for us. And if you accept it, you're redeemed and the curse is gone. And then it even gets better because there's something amazing. One day we'll be with Christ and there'll be no more curse. Do you see the penalty announced? We're nearly finished. You see the how it's personally applied. You see the pardon that's available. You see the prospect that's amazing. But then let me finish with the punishment that's abounding. Paul mentions this at the end of his letter, first letter to the church at Corinth. He says this, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema and maranatha. That word maranatha means the Lord's coming. That's how they used to greet other in the early church, because they believed that Jesus could come at any moment. And I still believe it tonight. But here's what Paul said, if you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, if any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be anathema. That word anathema means cursed. And if you don't love the Lord Jesus tonight, you're cursed. I'm not talking about a fuddy-duddy love. Song of Solomon 3 verse 2, the bride says, I will now rise and go about the city and the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. You know, if you love Jesus Christ, you'll seek him. Seek the Lord while he is to be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Have you sought him? Don't tell me you love him if you've never sought him. If you love him, you'll seek him. If you love him, you'll obey him. Jesus said himself, if you love me in John 14, keep my commandments. Have you obeyed him? Have you trusted him? Do you know what he said to you? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But you still haven't come. Don't tell me you love him tonight, because you've never obeyed him. You've never sought him. If you love him, you know you'll believe in him. 1 Peter 2, verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. He's precious to me tonight. Is he precious to you tonight? Don't tell me he's precious. Don't tell me you love him tonight if you've never trusted in him. If you've never believed, if you've never accepted him as your own and personal Savior, if you've never sought him, don't tell me you love him tonight. Paul says if you don't love him, you're cursed. So where do you stand tonight? That's God's word this evening. You should love him tonight. John says we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. He loved you before you were born. And he loves you tonight. He loves you so much that he went to the cross, that he could be your Savior. But do you love him tonight? Have you accepted him? Have you sought him? Have you believed in him? Have you trusted him? Have you repented of your sin? Well, if you haven't, then don't tell me you love him tonight. And on the authority of the word of God, Paul says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be an anathema. He's cursed. Cursed. Cromwell had sentenced a man to death. He said, when the bell tolls this evening, the punishment is going to be carried out and he's going to be put to death. His wife climbed up the bell tower and got inside the bell, round that little ball thing in the bell. I'm sure there's a name for it. And she held on to it. When they started to ring the bell, she was beat from side to side and battered and bruised, but the bell never sounded. When she dropped out of it, she was beaten black and blue and all bruised. And she crawled along the ground and Cromwell was standing and she says, listen, if you love him that much, then I'm going to pardon him. If you love him that much, I'm going to pardon him. And Jesus Christ loved you much more. And he was beaten, he was battered, and he was bruised at Calvary because he loves you. Can you imagine, and I often say this, if the husband of that dear woman that climbed into the bell tower and was beaten black and blue says, no, I would rather be put to death. It would be so ungrateful, so unappreciative, so undeserving. You would say it's madness. Let me tell you tonight, Jesus loves you. He has died for you. If you reject him tonight, it's madness. It's so unappreciative. Paul says, if you don't love him, if you've never sought him, if you've never believed, if you've never trusted, if you've never come, if you've never obeyed, then you're cursed. Cursed for time and cursed for all eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the pardon that's available. We thank you, Lord, for the prospect that's amazing. Lord, we can't imagine what it'll be. No more curse, no more sorrow, no more death, no more suffering, no more pain. And yet, Lord, it was so glorious that Paul said, when you compare what happens in life to the glory that shall be revealed in us, it's not worthy to be compared. Lord, we thank you for that wonderful hope that every child of God has here tonight. But Lord, there may be some tonight and they're out of Christ. And Lord, we pray tonight that you'll speak to them, that they'll stop loving themselves, and they'll start loving Jesus Christ, and seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Lord, will you save some dear precious soul here tonight? And we'll say, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Amen. Let's sing in closing hymn number 263, Free from the Law, O Happy Condition. Jesus hath bled and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, grace hath redeemed us once for all. It's a wonderful hymn, full of scriptural truth. Let's stand and sing it well this evening. 263. Thank you. Thank you for the freedom we have in Christ tonight. We thank you for the blessings we have, knowing that we can be saved by his matchless grace. Blessing in time, and Lord, blessings in eternity. But Lord, those without Christ are cursed in time, and cursed for all eternity. Lord, speak tonight. We pray that someone tonight will fall in love with Jesus Christ.
and have the curse lifted. Part us in thy fear and with thy blessing, for we ask it in our Saviour's precious name. Amen.